Chapter 8. When I woke up, I saw that the sun was high and I had slept through most of the morning. I must have been tired after such a difficult day. As soon as I sat up, my stomach rumbled. I got out of bed and got dressed quickly. Out of the window, I couldn't see anyone in the courtyard. All was quiet. Usually, Dr. Moreau started his work early in the morning, but I could hear nothing. The silence was a blessing. There was the sound of footsteps and a knock at the door. "Come in," I called. Emling opened the door and held out a tray. "I bring your food," he said, laying the tray on the table. "Thank you, Emling," I said, watching him as he left. Emling was one of Dr. Moreau's creatures, but he was the most human-like. Not only did he look the most realistic, but his manners were the most human, too. I sat down and looked at the food. There was the usual fruit and vegetables and a piece of bread. There was also some meat, it was rabbit. Emling hadn't cooked it well, and the meat was dry, but I was pleased to have it. I didn't like a vegetarian diet. "Prendick," Montgomery said as he stepped into the room without knocking. I nodded my head and cleared my plate, pondering Montgomery's perspective on yesterday's events. He wasn't as crazy as Dr. Moreau, but I also knew he didn't completely agree with my side. I wasn't sure I could trust him. "Quite a day yesterday, wasn't it?" he said. Again, I nodded. "Are you feeling better?" Montgomery asked me. "Yes, I am. Dr. Moreau said I could keep these," I said, pointing to the guns. "Well, if it makes you feel safer, that's good. I don't know if the guns are useful. Can you shoot?" "Well, it doesn't matter. Hopefully, you won't need to use them," he said. "Isn't he working today?" I asked, nodding my head in the direction of the laboratory. "No, the puma needs to rest. The wounds must heal before he starts again," Montgomery said, giving nothing away. "Listen, the doctor has told me everything. At least he's told me his side of the story, but I don't know what to think. You've been here a long time and worked with him for a long time. What can you tell me? Why is he doing this work?" I asked. I wasn't sure if Montgomery would tell me the truth, but I needed to ask. Montgomery sat down on the edge of the bed and shrugged his shoulders. "I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't understand why he does this work, but he's convinced there's some grand purpose to it all. Perhaps he wants to get some recognition for his work to prove he was right. But who knows?" remarked Montgomery. I stayed quiet, waiting for him to tell me more. "I see that you're frightened of the beast folk. That's natural. Some of them are terrifying, I agree. But it's not like in the beginning. Dr. Moreau has grown better at his craft. These recent creatures are much more human. In the early days, when I was first here, the creatures were true beasts. They looked dreadful, and they didn't act like humans for long. They quickly turned back into beasts, killing each other, killing humans," he said. "Killing humans?" I interrupted him. "Who did they kill?" "Montgomery brought some men here, tribe people from faraway islands. They worked hard and built these huts and other things. They were primitive people. Dr. Moreau treated them the same as the beasts he was building. Anyway, over time, they all went. One fell and died by accident, another was injured when he fell off a hut and never recovered. Another, as I said, was killed by one of these beasts. The creature wasn't finished yet, Dr. Moreau was still making it when it escaped. When the creature killed the man, we shot it, but the damage was done. The other men escaped in the spare boat, but I think they must have drowned. That was years ago. It's just been me and Dr. Moreau until you," Montgomery explained. He stood up and walked distractedly around the room. He picked books off the shelf, put them back, and tidied them into drawers. I remained quiet, hoping he'd tell me more about the beast folk. He was thinking about it. "Yes, that was many years ago when the wild creature killed the tribe man. Since then, Dr. Moreau has improved his work. Now, he understands the importance of teaching them the law. He uses hypnosis to make sure they learn how to behave. When he is creating them, he teaches them at the same time. The creatures link this knowledge to the pain of their vivisection. They know they will return to the house of pain if they rebel and do things wrong. So, they try to behave themselves, but sometimes, as you've seen, things go wrong, Montgomery sighed. Anyway, don't be frightened of them. I won't lock this door anymore. You should go out and meet them. Dr. Moreau doesn't bother with them once they go to live in the cave, but you can interact with them if they wish. Some of them speak, like the Birdman and the Monkey Man. If you don't speak to people on this island, you'll go insane. Become friends with the ones who have the law firmly in their minds. There's plenty around. Over time, Dr. Moreau has made around 120 creatures, though many have since died or been killed. The pig creatures are all a bit stupid, and the bear creature is deformed and frightening. You can't talk easily with her. But the little sloth child is sweet even though it is not clever. The Birdman is the sayer of the law. He will make the others behave if he can. The Monkey Man, you know, thinks he is very clever because he looks similar to us. Of course, Emling is the best creature to talk with. He doesn't live in the cave. Emling lives in a kennel behind the other huts. He's part dog and part ox, but he does seem like a human. At least, I think so. Anyway, I've talked enough. You have a lot to think about, I'm sure. I'll leave you in peace now, Montgomery said as he walked out the door. I'd hardly replied to him, but now my head was full of thoughts. I thought about all the strange creatures I had met in the forest and wondered which ones I hadn't met yet. Then I thought about the beast who had chased me in the forest. I wondered who he was and if he was dangerous. I wondered how I would survive. A few days passed, or maybe it was a week. After discovering the truth of Dr. Moreau's work, I lost the motivation to think about what day it was. My days were aimless. I didn't get up at a fixed time or have any plans for my days. Emling brought meals, and I ate them. Sometimes, I lay in bed and read the books on the shelves. Sometimes, I stared out the window and tried to ignore the sounds of Dr. Moreau's dreadful works. Sometimes, I took short walks. Usually, I walked down to the beach. It was not far, and I knew the way. I feared getting lost or entering the forest where creatures could easily attack me. I knew that I had to think of something to do. I could be stuck on this island for months, even years. I would go mad if I didn't find a way to keep busy. Come on, man, Montgomery said as he entered the room one morning. What? I asked. Let's go. It would help if you got out. You mustn't be afraid of the island or its creatures, he said. I put on my shoes and reached for the guns. I didn't feel safe leaving the hut without them. Leave those and take this instead, Montgomery said and handed me a whip. Why? I asked. If you shoot a creature and it dies, Dr. Moreau will be furious. Use the whip instead. The creatures know that this is a symbol of power, Montgomery said. I had seen him and Dr. Moreau carrying whips as they walked around the island. The beast folk knew that these men were their masters. The whips were a symbol of power. Reluctantly, I took the guns and put them into a drawer, leaving them behind. I picked up the whip. I could feel the roughness of the rope in my hand. Although I didn't know how to use a whip, I was sure that just seeing it would make the creatures careful around me. Let's go, Montgomery said. We turned right out of the huts towards the mountains. Usually, I stuck to the beach, but this was the first time I had come this way. It's a beautiful island, Montgomery said. Sometimes it can feel like a prison, but sometimes it can feel like a paradise. We walked through dense jungle and up steep cliffs, enjoying the landscape. Our discussion about Dr. Moreau and his creatures was brief. Instead, we chatted about our favorite books and childhood games we used to play. Montgomery was older than me and had been away from civilization for a while, so sometimes it felt like we didn't have much in common. However, I found him easy to talk to. As we walked, I felt some of my stress disappearing. The fresh air and his company were exactly what I needed. After a few hours, we had walked in a circle and headed back towards the huts. We hadn't seen many creatures on our walk, and those we had seen had not spoken to us. But now we saw through the trees that the monkey man and the bird man were nearby. "It's man! It's man!" the monkey man said excitedly when we approached. "Good morning," Montgomery said to them. "Look! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the monkey man said. He held up his hand and did his trick of wiggling 5 fingers. I waved at him, and the monkey man smiled back. The bird man was silent. I saw him looking at the whip in my hand. When he looked up at me, his face was cross. "Why does this man carry the whip? His is not the hand that makes," the bird man said, his voice quiet and dark. "This man is a master. Same as me. Same as Dr. Moreau," Montgomery said firmly. "This man was come to live with us. He is not master," the bird man said. "I tell you he is," Montgomery said, and he cracked his whip on the floor. The monkey man jumped, but the bird man didn't flinch. "Go now to your cave. Do not argue with the master. This is the law," Montgomery said. The birdman nodded, and both creatures turned, running away from us. "You have to be firm with them," Montgomery said. "Show them who's boss. They must believe we are the masters, or they won't respect us." I nodded, thinking about possibly being in danger on the island. We walked in silence until we came upon a violent scene. "What's this?" Montgomery said as we approached. On the floor was a dead rabbit resembling the one I had encountered earlier. Its head had been ripped off, leaving a pool of blood. It was next to a tree. The tree bark had been shredded like an animal had used it to sharpen its claws. "This isn't good," Montgomery said.
"Why not?"
I asked. "It means an animal has broken the law. They are not supposed to eat meat, that's the law. We teach them to only eat fruits and vegetables. They are not allowed to kill, but when they do, they've broken the law," he said, digging a hole with his hands and covering the dead rabbit with soil to hide it.
"I've seen this before," I said.
"What?" Montgomery looked worried. I told him about the day I had seen another murdered rabbit when I was walking. Montgomery was concerned. "We need to tell Dr. Moreau about this," he said, and we hurried back to the huts. When we told him, Dr. Moreau was furious. He decided we needed to find out which animal had committed the crime. That animal should be punished. If the other animal saw the offender being punished, it would make them behave. Quietly, I went back to my room. I opened the drawers and put a gun in my pocket. I hid it from Dr. Moreau and Montgomery. I knew there would be trouble, and I needed to protect myself. We went to the beach, and Dr. Moreau blew a horn. Soon, many creatures gathered on the beach. Some were shy, but others came down onto the sand. Dr. Moreau blew the horn again, and the beast folk lined up together. They were quiet and waited to hear what was happening. "Who has broken the law?" Dr. Moreau shouted. The creatures were quiet. Some looked at each other, wondering who was guilty. "Who has broken the law? Not to eat flesh or fish. This is the law. And it has been broken. Someone has killed a rabbit. Who was it?" Dr. Moreau said again. Many in the crowd looked shocked. It was not them. But one of the beast folk looked guilty. I looked at him carefully. He was a leopard man, standing tall with spots on his skin. Suddenly, I recognized him. Fear struck me hard in the chest. It was the same creature that had chased me in the forest, the one that wanted to kill me. As I looked into his eyes, I just knew he was guilty. Montgomery and Dr. Moreau could see it, too. The leopard man did not look away.
He gave an evil smile. It was you, Dr. Moreau said, pointing at the leopard man. You have broken the law, and now you must be punished. Catch him. As he said those words, the leopard man ran. He was fast, faster than many of the other beast folk. We all ran after him, but the leopard man was escaping. I wondered what Dr. Moreau meant when he said that he would punish him. Surely, he would not kill his creatures because they were so precious. Then I realized. Dr. Moreau would take the leopard man back to the House of Pain. He would cut him and perform surgeries on him to make him more human. The leopard would be tortured. We were all chasing after him, but I wasn't sure how we would be able to catch him. He was swift and powerful. At some point during the pursuit, I became separated from the rest of the group. As I continued to run on my own, I suddenly came across the leopard man. He had become trapped between some rocks and was unable to escape my grasp. I thought he would attack, but he looked frightened. I saw the terror in his eyes. At that moment, he looked human. I knew I could not let Dr. Moreau torture this creature. It was not the leopard's fault that Dr. Moreau had made him into this unnatural creature. It would be better to die than to be tortured by this evil doctor. So, I took out my gun and shot the leopard. The sound of the gun was loud, and many other beast folk came running towards me. They saw the leopard on the floor and didn't know what to do. Dr. Moreau and Montgomery came running, too. Before they could reach the leopard, another creature came forward. It was the pig man. He ran to the leopard's body and started to tear its flesh with its teeth. The pig man was breaking the law, trying to eat the leopard. He climbed onto the body and bit it. What happened? What happened? Dr. Moreau asked. Montgomery ran to the leopard and grabbed the pig man, pulling him off the body. Montgomery and Dr. Moreau took out their whips and whipped the pig. He squealed and pleaded for them to stop. The whips marked his body, and he cried in pain. You broke the law. You will be punished. Dr. Moreau yelled as he whipped the pig. Dr. Moreau looked at the leopard man and then looked at me. Why did you kill him? Why? What a waste of my work. I could have fixed him, Dr. Moreau said. His eyes were full of fire. I thought he might whip me or take the gun, but he didn't. He was furious, but he did nothing to me. Dr. Moreau left and went back to the huts. Take the leopard. Put his body into the sea, Montgomery said to the other beast folk who were watching. We saw the monkey man, the bird man, and other beast folk come forward and lift the limp, bloody body of the leopard man. We followed them down to the beach, where they took the body out into the water and let it go. The waves washed away the evidence of what had happened.